Hello and welcome to WNC Original Music episode 91, the Swedish Book episode. This week we have returning Charles Latham and the Borrowed Band. Charles and the band have an album coming out soon, which we'll talk about later, and also right now they have a new single out, which you can download for free if you go to the show notes, and there'll be a link there to download that song. Charles and the Borrowed Band are from Durham, North Carolina, and this was recorded at Up Country Brewing in Asheville, North Carolina. Although Charles has been nice enough to lend us a couple of studio tracks that you're going to hear on this episode. You can find Charles Latham and the Borrowed Band at charleslatham.com. The album, when it comes out, will be called Charles Latham and the Borrowed Band, and the single that is out now is called Left on Red, and you're going to hear it right now. Remember, you can go to the show notes and find a link to download this if you like it, which I am sure you will. Here is Charles Latham and the Borrowed Band.
Read between the lines.
What's your musical background, musical training? Not influence, but like, you know, actually learning and playing in bands, that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, I taught myself guitar, just kind of learning the songs that I wanted to learn, and I played in bands all through high school and then mostly in college I started writing songs a little more seriously, and I was doing more solo stuff, and really from then until up until a couple of years ago, that's what I was doing. Playing solo shows, and I still do some solo gigs, but now I've got the band.
And you're from Durham originally?
No, I'm from Virginia.
Virginia, okay.
So yeah, okay. Yeah. But I lived. I went to college in the UK, mm-hmm. in Brighton, which is like the kind of seaside resort town south of London. And then I lived in Chapel Hill for a little bit, and I was up in Philly, and then I lived out in West Tennessee for a little while, and then ended up back here.
Oh, okay.
But in Durham this time, yeah.
Okay, cool. And you were what's some differences of playing music in different places?
I think in the UK I started taking it more seriously than I had in the past, because they had a real tangible, palpable appreciation for live music. You know, I mean, if they liked what you were doing, if they didn't like what you were doing, they would also let you know. But, you know, but if you were, you know, if it was a good show, you know, then, you know, they just, it was just the most encouraging crowd, you know, and people come out, you know, to show. It just felt like it just felt really important to be out there performing. I mean, you know, open mic nights on a weeknight would be packed, and it just, it made me want to be a better songwriter and a better musician. That was one thing about this area was that I kind of felt it had this, you know, this strong music community and the supportive music community. And then I moved away thinking that, you know, I'd be able to maybe find something like that, you know, anywhere I went. But, you know, I kind of came to realize it wasn't the case. And that's really what brought me back here.
How often do you guys play together?
It's really like a, you know, it's a pick up as we go kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got a million different commitments, you know, family life and jobs and other bands and all that stuff. So we'll get together. I try, my aim for at least once a month, we try to get together. Mm-hmm. And then when we're gigging a lot, like the last couple of months, we'd get a practice in before the shows, and that, you know.
Oh, so that's what I meant. How often do you play a show?
Oh, you know, it varies, and we kind of, yeah, we had a real busy spring and early summer, and now there's going to be kind of a little lull while everybody takes their summer vacations, and we're finishing this record up, and mm-hmm. then, but we're going to get it, we're going to crank it back up. As we finish the album and start to do promotional stuff, I'm hoping to be out on the road, you know, regionally, every weekend for a while. So.
Oh yeah.
And I'll either do that, you know, some will be solo gigs and some will be with the band.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. You play with the band, you play solo a lot. It looks like, and you say you play sometimes a duo with Abby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Abby and I will do some shows as a duo. You know, I've even done I've done a show with, just a few members of the band. You know, we'll do sometimes like, you know, just bass, you know, bass, two guitars, or bass and a vocalist, or, you know, yeah, we'll do different configurations depending on, you know, what makes sense, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I kind of like that. It makes it fun. It's a versatile band like that. Sometimes we do, Billy, who plays bass with us, also plays upright. So sometimes she'll bring out the upright and we can do kind of like a, you know, Tennessee Three type setup, you know.
Sounds like these guys, you know, we're talking about how good they were. That it's not like you have to say, hey, we need to go in and practice as a three piece. It's more like you can just say,
hey, let's go play this three, you know, play as a three piece and you play upright, and everybody just kind of like comes in. They know the song's good enough where they can just kind of figure it out at that show.
Yeah. Versus, yeah. It's definitely gotten to that point. I'd say it's at that point now. I mean, you know, but it's one of those things where, you know, I'll try to, if we can get together to practice, and also I just like spending time with them. I mean, you know, it's, we're all, you know, we're friends outside of, we're friends in real life, as they say too. But yeah, you know, I mean, like we'll try to practice. And if we can't, I usually am pretty comfortable that if we can't, we can't, we'll make it work. You know, and the thing with the sound with the band, and I've always been like, I'm, you know, like I'm a big Neil Young fan. And I love Crazy Horse. And I've always liked that, you know, I kind of, my, you know, my vision for the band anyway was to have it be a little bit loose, you know, not loose to the point where we're falling apart, but like, you know, but for there to be some kind of, you know, kind of roughness there, that, you know, some grit, you know. And I think that it makes it exciting. There's also, you know, I mean, honestly, there is a thrill about, you know, not practicing all the time and then getting on stage, you know, because it's, you never know how it's going to go. Yeah. Sometimes you can, sometimes, yeah, it's definitely 9 times out of 10 a bad surprise, but sometimes every once in a while, you know, you can pull it out. But yeah. Yeah. I mean, my preference is definitely for us to get together and practice. But I think, you know, as we get, as things kind of ramp up, once we finish the record, we'll probably be seeing more of each other.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of bands, you know, that practice a lot and, you know, really polished and really good, but they'll say, we're trying to sound like we did that one time in practice. And so, so, you know, you can't, not that they aren't good, but there was just a special feeling there when maybe things weren't perfect, but it had a certain sound. And so maybe you guys are sometimes getting that sound on stage because you're not, you know, everybody doesn't know exactly what's going to happen next. So you're not like tuning out like you might, you know, if you're playing, playing the same chord for 18 measures.
And I, you know, I'd say one possible advantage to my own, like, you know, musical ignorance is that, you know, sometimes we'll do the song in a different, you know, we'll do the songs at different tempos a lot of, you know, depending on the night, you know, and, or, you know, we've changed keys accidentally, you know, we've done all that kind of stuff, but they're good about kind of following with me. But yeah, the, you know, definitely the tempo thing will change, or, you know, but that makes it more interesting. And a lot of times also there are, you know, there's some, you know, some of the songs, you know, because I wrote them on the acoustic guitar thinking I'd be playing them, you know, by myself, that there are places where, you know, I'm not sure what's supposed to happen or how it's supposed to, you know, or how it gets from point A to point B with the band. And we kind of reinvent that every night, you know, and that's the fun part too.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting better about, you know, that improvisational element too. I think, you know, cause I have fun with that, and I, you know, even if it devolves into, you know, to chaos, I always think that's fun and, you know, exciting for me.
Let me take you for granted, just like air or gravity. All my life support systems are invisible to me. So let me take you for I let me take you for granted. Let me walk all over you. I'll be standing on your shoulder. I'll be walking in your shoes. Let me take you for granted. They say you never really get over your first love. Day by day you watch her change into somebody new. Understanding that love's just exchanging little parts of her, little parts of you. And you may take that for granted. You can take
record. And it's you know, it's a song about regret and about kind of, you know, just those things what you realize that you know that when you start to, I guess it was, you know, I have a lot of or maybe I was becoming aware of how many songs I'd written in which the narrator is kind of the you know, the victimized, or you know, felt victimized in some way. So that one's, this one's kind of the, you know, the mea culpa mm-hmm. song.
Oh yeah. I like the idea. It's like a upfront, it's the kind of thing that someone would never say, like he, cause he's saying kind of, let me, or does he say, let me take you for granted, or won't you take me for granted? I forget.
Yeah. It starts, the first couple choruses are asking to be allowed to.
Right. Yeah. And I kind of had the feeling of like someone who's been in a long-term relationship or wants that, because it sounded kind of like it became a little more bitter, you know, if that's the right word, but it kind of sounded like something someone might say, well, like, I want to be with you forever, to the point where we take each other for granted a little bit, but you know, maybe it's not that serious or something like that. So, but
yeah, no, like, I think that there was a side of, I mean, there's something I was definitely, I think that the, you know, there's kind of, you know, the kind of dual, or I don't know, you know, the other edge of the coin to, or side of the coin to that chorus or to the idea of the song was that, to me, I was thinking, you know, it's really is like, if somebody does allow you, if you're in a relationship where it's, you know, you are comfortable enough, you know, for somebody to let you take them for granted without bringing it up, you know, that is a kind of deep love, you know, and that, and you know, so that's kind of, yeah. So it's both, you know, I think it's both straight, you know, there's kind of a straightforward message of just saying, you know, of being aware that, you know, that you have maybe taken, someone for granted, but then there's also, yeah, I think there's an idea too, that maybe that's, you know, that's part of what love is that, you know, is that you know, we do sometimes do that, but then, you know, that doesn't mean, you know, that, and that means not being allowed to do it without being, you know, reminded of it or something.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask?
It's a sad song.
Can I ask, just without getting in too much detail, have you had many like long-term relationships?
No, but I've definitely have some familiarity with a long-term relationship.
That's all you got to say, brother. I see it all in your eyes.
Interview. What do they say? You gotta pay the dues to play the blues or whatever.
Right. Yeah. For the listening audience, he's winking at me pretty hard right now. Yeah. I'm just kidding. It's a phone interview. He's sending me winky faces. He's texting me winky faces. Okay, more music from Charles Latham and the Borrowed Band, and more discussion with Charles Latham himself in just a few moments. I want to remind you about that link in the show notes for the single for Left on Red. That's a really good song. And you can also see on the social media page for the podcast, WNC Original Music, there's a video from the live version at Up Country Brewing. Go follow Charles Latham and the Borrowed Band at charleslatham.com and keep an eye out for the album coming out, which is self-titled Charles Latham and the Borrowed Band. There's a lot of good music up there, and you can hear some of the live versions of the songs from this album on some of the previous episodes. Charles has been on the show two times before, and a few of the songs from the album, the live versions, are on those podcast episodes. Make sure to follow the podcast at wncoriginalmusic.com. That's the main site, but also you can find WNC Original Music wherever you get your podcast. Just put it in the search bar there. It's also on Pandora and iHeartRadio and on YouTube a little bit. And also you can get it by searching your smart speaker. Let's try it right now. Alexa, play podcast WNC Original.
Here's WNC Original Music from Spotify.
See, it worked. I hope that didn't make your smart speaker start playing the podcast, because you're obviously already listening to it. Also, follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Lots of extras there, including a lot of live videos from the people that have been on the show. And also go and visit our group page. That's Western NC Original Music. And that is on Facebook.
Hey, this is Courtney Cahill, benevolent genius of Modern Strangers. You're listening to WNC Original Music.
Every man.
tradition that you're living by. There's a rifle slung from the wall, and there's a dawn. Thank you.
Yeah, so that, again, that was on my last record. I went through a dark period, and I'm not trying to be, coy or whatever. There's not a lot I really want to say about it just because for personal reasons. But anyway, I'll say it was a dark time, but I did write some songs, and that was one of them, and it was kind of, it kind of came out all in one breath in a way, and, I hadn't really done anything like that. I mean, it's kind of interesting because I've listened to a lot of folk music, and I'd always kind of, shorthand when people would ask me, what kind of music do you play? I'd always say folk, kind of folk music, but I didn't have a lot of like minor key kind of songs. And there's so many of those in folk, So I feel like this is my first true, real minor key folk song. And that's how I wrote it. It came out like that. And, obviously sounds different with the full band. But again, it was something that I think even when I was writing, I kind of envisioned having a big, a band sound to give it kind of a big, sort of ominous quality. I think it's, and a lot of people were, when we were playing it, during the last election and after the last election, people were drawing some comparisons, I guess, because it's definitely about America, and it's definitely a sort of, dark vision of America. But I wrote it like a year before, all that kicked off. So it really wasn't really about that. I guess that's in there.
It is one of those things, like you were saying with some other songs, is people apply their own meaning to it. And, if you've written a song that has an emotional aspect to it, then people are going to take that emotional aspect to it and apply it to, some personal or universal situations, I guess, in this situation.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is one where the band really on the live recording really makes it. I've been meaning to go back and because this is one you sent me to use in a promo, but it sounds like, live, like I'm listening to it and I'm hearing you guys play it, and there's parts where it kind of builds up and pulls back and builds up and pulls back. And sometimes like you think, wait a minute, are they just kind of figuring this out? But then when it comes back from pulling back, it's so intentional that it sounds, it's on purpose and it's tight. It's like when you play a song loosely, but you really know, kind of like the Crazy Horse comparison you were making a while ago, that this is maybe the song where the band really does sound like Crazy Horse, or have that ability to be loose, but also professional at the same time. So.
Yeah, well, and to be honest, not to reveal the secret behind the trick, but we actually probably didn't really know how we were going to land it. And I think that, that was just kind of, that was just improvisation that ended up working out, because we kind of, we don't usually take it into as long of a spaced out sort of part at the end, like we did for that show. But the bringing it back, usually, sometimes we'll do that and then kind of just, we'll let it sort of fade out, or we'll bring it to a halt right after that last chorus. But this was kind of, we kind of did it. We haven't really done it like the way we did it at that show before. So I'm glad it worked, but that was definitely, some improv.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So it was more or less what I said and more just a bunch of people that are used to playing with each other and can make an improv sound, not rehearsed, but not exactly free form.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, we're getting to that point, if you're going to do any improvisation as a band, you need to be in where it's like we're starting to learn to read each other's cues, and it's not just me, I'd say that we sometimes will take turns leading the band. Not that anyone's really leading, but I think in those moments, you know, we can cue each other and then we'll sort of all go in that direction. So there's been times when the drummer, you know, Steve, you know, he's not ready for the song to be done, or he is ready, or he thinks it needs to, like, you know, it needs to have like a, it needs to cool out for a second, or, you know, and both our lead players will do that too. So, you know, yeah, it's kind of that's been interesting too, as we started to get tighter with each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, that song, I mean, you know, and I just, the last thing I'll say is the title, I mean, yeah, I think that the title specifically is trying to allude to that folk, you know, to kind of a folk quality. I wanted it to have, you know, I wanted it to be kind of like a folk ballad, you know, or like a, you know, yeah. And so I wanted to, you know, so giving it that title, I mean, you know, there's a, you know, I wanted it to be also, you know, something that had enough room for, you know, for somebody to read into, but yeah, it's definitely my first, you know, minor key folk tune.
when I listen to the song, I picture, do you know who the painter Andrew Wyeth is?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I picture his paintings when I hear the song, and that kind of goes along with that kind of, I know he didn't do American Gothic, but it has that American Gothic, not the painting, but the style, feel to it, you know, kind of like I'll think of it, tomorrow afternoon. Anyway, that feeling.
You can patch it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Those kind of like overcast skies, you know, kind of hard scrabble, melancholy, like a melancholy to it.
Yeah.
That was a word.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah.
Man. I don't have to. If I had thought of it this morning at like 1 o'clock, I'd be like texting you. It was melancholy. What?
Well, now you'll just have that sense that you were supposed to do something and you can't remember what it was.
Right.
Guitar!
My favorite. Hard On. Yeah. My favorite song.
That's my international super hit.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an older one. I wrote that when I was still in college in the UK. And I wrote it. I mean, you know, and again, you know, I'm not. Yeah, I wrote it. I sat down and I wrote it in one sitting. And the irony is, you know, it's like it took me the least amount of time to write, but it's the one song, or you know, well, up until recently, it was the one song that had been, you know, covered by other bands, and it not only covered by a couple different bands. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was thinking, you know, there's all these other songs that, and you know, not to look a gift horse in the mouth, but you know, because for a long time, my goal as a songwriter was just that, to have somebody want to, you know, to like a song enough to learn it and want to play it themselves. But you know, there was part of me when it would happen, I was like, that song, you know, like not the ones that I've labored over and right. And then have like a, you know, a couple choruses and a bridge and all that stuff, you know. But yeah, Hard On is just, you know, I don't know what to say about it anymore, because it's yeah, it's but I will say that the way we do it, it's kind of funny, because yeah, that's another one that I, you know, I wrote on the acoustic guitar. I used to do it with a friend or one of my good friends, like flatmates, this girl, she played flute and she would sing it. So you know, that's before Lizzo, by the way. So we would do it together, and she would sing it with me and do kind of like a, almost like a, you know, like In the Round style, where she would alternate the lyrics so that we were singing it together, and kind of had this, you know, it was going like, you know, with her slightly delayed, you know, second vocal, and then she would, mm-hmm. She'd put some flute on there too. And you know, we'd do it just like an acoustic kind of thing. But then I heard, yeah, there's a band called Withered Hand in Scotland, and they did it as a full band version. I really liked how they did it. So we kind of do it, yeah, I kind of borrowed their version for when I wanted to do it with it, you know, when I got my own band together.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, so now it's this kind of rock and roll song.
I like the repetition in the lyrics, where it's, there's repetition, and then each repetition sort of has its own distinct rhythm. Like at one point you say a pin, a pin, a pin, a pin, and that kind of, it kind of alternates. It stays outside of the 4-4, you know, it's like a 3-4 yeah. Inside a 4-4. But then when you say a hard on, a hard on, a hard on, that's all the same. That's like a 1-2-3-4. And then a couple other examples there where you kind of fit words in differently, each time with that repetition. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I think that there's a lot of that in my lyrics generally, which again, you know, I'll give Abby a lot of credit, cause she has to sing with me and just learn my weird timing, you know, phrasings, but you know, she's done a good job about that. But yeah. Yeah. And I think like Hard On. Yeah. It's something that's, I think what it's just got a kind of quality to it. That's a kind of, I think there's a bit of like an identity search in there, you know, I think that's what it's a song. You know, the best I can, because it's weird to me now, because I wrote it a while ago now at this point, and I wrote it so quickly that it really is hard for me to remember even what I was thinking about, you know, when I first wrote it. And now there's been so many different, you know, I've played it so many times, mm-hmm. and in so many different contexts that, yeah, it's one that's really like, you know, I almost feel, you know, it's not that I feel out of touch with it, but it's like there's an out of body almost experience with it, where it's, you know, I have no idea who the person is that that wrote that song, but it still means something to me. And I think part of why I think part of the reason I still even like it or play it is because other people like it. You know, I think it's one of those things I might have thrown away if if I hadn't seen on YouTube that there was, you know, somebody in Scotland playing it on the banjo and stuff. So, yeah. You know,
it seems like a fun song for the band to play. I mean, you guys, that's probably, I might be wrong, but that's maybe where the soloist kind of, shine the most on this song.
Well, yeah. And I think our drummer Steve too, cause I think it was one practice where we kind of came up with the speeding up thing, where we just, you know, it gets faster and faster.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've, yeah. It's I've broken many a guitar string thanks to that new arrangement, but it's good.
Okay, I want to thank Charles for being on the show, and I want to thank Charles and the Borrowed Band for lending some studio tracks and also for letting us use the live recording from their show at Upcountry Brewing in West Asheville, North Carolina. Don't forget to follow Charles Latham and the Borrowed Band at charleslatham.com. Keep an eye out for that new album. Look in the show notes for this episode for the free download link for their new single. And go to WNC Original Music on Facebook and Instagram to look for videos from their live performance at Upcountry Brewing. Don't forget to follow the podcast, WNC Original Music. Search that wherever you get your podcast, or go to WNCOriginalMusic.com. Also look for us on Facebook and Instagram. And look for the Facebook group, that's Western NC Original Music. I tried to make it close enough that it's relative, but different enough that it's confusing. That's Western NC Original Music on Facebook. But you can see a lot of more stuff there from the podcast and from other WNC Original musicians. And also, if you are a WNC Original musician, or if you're coming through the area, you can post your own music on the group. Our closing song this week is provided by Tears of Victory. This is a project from Chris Aaron, who is a singer-songwriter from Olympia, Washington. And you can find his album on Bandcamp at tearsofvictory.bandcamp.com. Have a good week.
Open eyes, we'll see. It's how beautiful this life can be. It doesn't matter what they say. We were meant to build our life this way. Dance the night away, and let's live it up like we used to. When it was just us two, and the morning it can't wait, there'd be plenty of time to sleep down in our graves. Let's dance the night away, just like a high school love remains. Here's to innocence and the memories we've made.
Let it be shown that I did not acknowledge that you said anything about dismembered bodies.